Throughout the entire Bible, God is referred to as the Great King, the sovereign over all, who will reign forever and ever. But how did God come to be the ultimate ruler? What qualifies him to be in charge? What gives God the right to rule as king over all creation?
Scripture presents God as creator. We find in Genesis 1 that he made all things simply by declaring them. He, by fiat, said, "Let there be," and there was. The way in which that took place is really beyond the scope of our comprehension. How can words have such efficacy? How can they have such power? Well, they can only be true if God is completely other than we are. He is not dependent upon anything. He is the eternal, infinite, all-powerful, all-knowing God. And as the creator, he is also the owner of all things. And he has chosen to create some things and not create others. He has caused some people to be born and not others to be born. That is fully within his right and power and authority to exercise. Many people struggle with the idea of God's absolute authority. I think Paul speaks of that struggle in Romans chapter 1, when he describes how humanity in its sinfulness seeks to suppress the knowledge of God, seeks to suppress the clear revelation of God. Well, what is that clear revelation? That he is God and we're not. That he is fully in control, that he is fully authoritative. And I think an important component for us as humans to recognize about our existence is that we don't have a say in things in that ultimate sense. We are blessed to be alive. We are blessed to have the opportunity to give glory to the one who made us. And then to think about the fact that not only did he make us, and not only did he not just immediately obliterate Adam and his progeny in view of Adam's first sin, but also in his perseverance determined to still call a people to himself, to still even give, as Jesus will describe in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, to cause the rain to fall on the unjust and the just. You see, God is a merciful God. He's a kind God. He's a patient God. Every breath that I have, every breath that I breathe is not only something that's given from him, but it is also something that I need to be aware of points me ultimately to him. And so my entire existence is dependent upon the God who makes all things, has made all things. And for that reason, we need to recognize that he is wholly sovereign and he has the right to act as he wills. One final comment I would add about God's sovereignty is that it's not a capricious sovereignty. It's not a sovereignty that operates distinct from his character as a good God. And so not only is he sovereign, but he is also good. And it is on that basis that we are called then to delight in him.
One of the questions we often get in apologetics is, I didn't ask to be born. How does God get to rule over me? And I think the simple answer to that is, it's exactly because you didn't ask to be born. That was a choice made by someone else, your creator, that vests the proper authority in God himself. God doesn't derive his authority from outside of himself. He is his own authority. His attributes, all of them, are authoritative. But of course, it's not the kind of authority we're used to as human beings, which can be tyrannical or capricious or arbitrary. It's authority that is good because God is good. We don't always see that. We question his providence at times. And even the most saintly people have gone through trials that don't make sense to them. And they rightly ask God in faith, why are you allowing this? He sometimes gives the answer here and now, but most times he waits, and maybe it will be only in the new heavens and new earth that we'll finally find out the answers to all these things. But we can trust his authority because he has an amazing track record The greatest proof of his authority is, of course, sending his son to die for our sins and to be raised up for our justification. No other philosophy, no other God remotely comes to this kind of answer. So God's authority is in itself, but it's proven over and over again in Jesus Christ.
The Bible displays God as king over all creation. His rule is absolute, and he does not accept any other contender. His right to be so is, whatever way you think about ownership and rights, God has it. He made it, he sustains it, and he rescued it at great personal cost through incarnation and crucifixion. So he has the right to do whatever he wants with everybody, and the fact that he is benevolent in doing so should make us praise him for everything that he does do.
Some people ask, what gives God the right to rule as the king over all creation? Well, three reasons come to my mind. The first is that God, as creator of all that exists, has a kind of patent or ownership claim on his handiwork. So there is this sort of proprietary interest and entitlement on that basis to administer what he has brought into being. I think a second reason, and perhaps we sometimes overlook this, but every time there's an election, you think about it, and it's this: only God is qualified to administer with wisdom and competence all that this universe, and particularly this little corner of it, our world, encompasses. This is an administrative task that exceeds the competence and pay grade of any human being. He's really the only qualified candidate. And then, of course, in the third place, there's what the old Scots used to call the crown rights of the Redeemer. God has the right to be king because he made it all and us. He's the one singularly qualified to do a good job of leadership. And then, on top of that, he paid an incredible personal price to redeem us back a second time through the blood of his son. We are bought with that price. And so, indeed, the crown rights of the Creator, Redeemer, are compelling. But I should also add that the imagery of king, which in some ways seems antique to us today, is really a way of saying, as king, he does not rule for his own ego. He rules, as Calvin said, chiefly for our sake, as our powerful protector, provider, and advocate. The concept of king is upsetting to egalitarian-minded moderns with a strong sense of personal entitlement and autonomy. But indeed, king does not convey, in this instance, a tyrant or any one who is inclined toward narcissism. The king rules at personal sacrifice so that we are safe.